Amen. So we've been in a series that we're calling Live Your Calling. Live Your Calling. Look at somebody and say, Live Your Calling. Live Your Calling. Now, I will promise you, I said this last week, and we're probably going to say it every week. This is not a quick fix. I talk to people quite often that say, I'm trying to figure out what God's calling is on my life. That's what this is about today. There are these few weeks that we're talking about this subject, is to say, okay, I know that God has a calling on my life. I'm trying to figure out what it is. And I will promise you this, that after this is over, after we have shared for 6 weeks on this topic, it's not going to make it any easier for you to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. All right, that's important, because we have this tendency to think about, I want to do something for God, and I want to challenge that a little bit in this whole process. And so we're going to start with this morning. The purpose, your life's purpose, the first purpose of your life is not to serve God. It's not to trust God. I'm going to make some people mad. There we go. Not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not even to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. The first purpose of your life is to let God love you. It is the hardest step. We can say, if you want to share the love of Jesus, decorate a trunk and pass out candy. That's something you can do. But you don't have to let God love you to do that. You can still feel unloved and be far away from God and do that, but God wants us to accept His love and start growing in that. You see, God, this is important, God created you to love you. God didn't create you and go, you know what, I need somebody else to do something. That's not what He was thinking. You didn't have your kids thinking, boy, I'm finally going to have somebody to mow the yard. That's an expensive lawn care plan, I'm telling you. God didn't create you going, I really need somebody to go to South Irving. God created you to love you. Now there's some things you're going to do along the way, but He created you just to love you. We've been created by God to be receptacles or receivers of His love. God didn't create you in the first place to do something. He created you in the first place to receive something. Now if we understand this, it transforms our lives. That God didn't create us just to do. God created us so He could love us. The first call of your life is to enjoy a relationship with God. Now, we're going to take this one slow this morning, all right? The first call of your life is to enjoy a relationship with God. Are you enjoying your relationship with God? The number one calling in your life is not a role. It's not a responsibility. It's not a bunch of rules or regulations. It's not a ritual. It's not even a religion. It's a relationship. This may surprise you, but Christianity was not designed to be a religion. Now, we've done our best over the centuries to turn this into just a religion. Another of the world's religions. A whole list of to-dos. But Jesus never came to earth, and He never went to the cross, and He never rose from the dead just to establish a religion. You can establish a religion by yourself without God. It's been done many times, but Jesus invites us into a relationship. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, not to develop a religion, but to develop a relationship with you. Are you enjoying your relationship with God? What kind of relationship with God is this supposed to be? Well, God has called you to be His daughter. God has called you to be His son. God's called you to be one of those. God's called you to be His child. Romans 1:7 says this, to all in Rome, He's talking about the Christians in Rome. He said, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people. It goes hand in hand. He's talking to people that are really fairly new in their relationship with God. He said, I'm talking to all of you in the Church of Rome, all of you who are loved by God. He said, that's the first thing on the list. I want you to know that you're loved and you're called to be His holy people. You are called to be His very own. We have this tendency to think more about what we should do than what we should be. Calling is not all about doing. If I want to find my calling, then I have to learn to be and not just do. I am to be a child of God. You are to be a child of God. The relationship that God created you for is to be His son or His daughter. I just want to take a minute and let this one sink in. God created you to be His son, or God created you to be His daughter. God didn't create you to be part of a workforce. God created you to be part of His family. Now, the most amazing truth you'll ever hear is that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, doesn't want you to be His slave, His servant, His soldier, but He wants you to be His son or His daughter. He just wants a relationship with you. 1 John 3:1 says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." He said, look at all this love the Father has placed on us so that we could be called His children. His children. We understand what it means for a father to love a child, a mother to love a child. Everybody who has a child understands that if somebody held a gun to you today and said, you can live or your child can live, one of you cannot live, which one of you is going to die? You wouldn't even give it a second thought. There would be no discussion. If somebody in your family started discussing it, you'd be like, just shut up. I'm the one. Because I'm the father. I'm the mother. I'm giving up my life. The great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called His children. He loves us that much that He wanted us. He wants us as a part of His family. Your number one purpose in life is not to accomplish something. That's an American thing. Go out there and accomplish something. Make some money, make a name for yourself, make yourself famous, get known. That is not, never, never does God tell us that's His plan for us. Your number one purpose in life, God created you and called you to be loved by Him and to walk in that love. To be called is to be loved. He loves you today. He loves you today. No matter how you feel about yourself, He loves you today. No matter what you see when you look in the mirror, He loves you today. No matter how many times you've messed up, He loves you today. No matter how big a failure you might feel like, He loves you today. Ephesians 3:17 says this, "Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots," watch this, "your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." Verse 18, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is." May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Look at verse 18 again. "And may you have the power to understand." He said, this is going to blow your mind. That's what He's saying. This is bigger than your ability to think about it. This is beyond your comprehension. "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is." It's an immersive experience. Somebody dropped you in a pool of God's love. It's all around you. It's wide, it's long, it's high, it's just everywhere. Everywhere you go, you're walking in God's love. It's almost as if you are surrounded by God's love every day as you would be if you had on a suit that said God's love. It's just there with you all the time. We have this tendency to think that God loves us according to our ability to get everything right. If I get it right, then God loves me. Nothing could be further from the truth. That's human love. If you get it right, I'm going to love you. If you do this the right way, I'm going to care about you. I'm going to be in a relationship. But if you get it wrong, if you get it too badly, if you get it messed up too bad, I can't be in a relationship with you. That's human love. But God's love is wide and long and high and deep and everywhere we're going to ever be. So what happens if I stay aware of God's love for me? This is important. So what happens if I stay aware of God's love? How's it going to show up in my life? If I'm aware that God loves me today, how's that going to show up in my life? And can we just start by saying this? If I am aware of God's love and I accept God's love, it's going to change my confidence level today. I'm not going to feel like I'm in a precarious predicament all the time. If I understand God's love, and that's what he just said, I want you to understand, like all believers should understand, I want you to understand the love of God. The love of God, if we understand it, if we walk in it, it's going to give us a foundation to stand on. And we won't have to be afraid all the time of all the things that are going on around us. We won't have to be afraid of all the things that could happen in our lives. So I want to share four things with you. What happens if I stay aware of God's love for me? Here's number one. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. If I'm aware that God loves me, I feel acceptance rather than shame. And that will change your life. Most people go through their entire life avoiding God. The reason they avoid God is because they're ashamed. They feel ashamed. They feel guilty. They feel condemnation. They feel judged. They feel criticized. They think that, well, God is perfect and I'm not. And why would I want to be in a world where God is perfect and I'm not perfect? Look at the scripture. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No condemnation. The Bible says this. Jesus didn't come to the world to condemn the world. He came to the world to save us. He came because he loves us and because he cares about us. I don't have to live with the shame from the past because God has already dealt with my past. If I mess up, here's what the Bible says. If you sin, confess your sins. Confess your sins to God. He will forgive your sins. He'll wipe them away. He'll give you a fresh slate. He cares about you this much. And some of us are walking through life feeling unaccepted and ashamed. I am telling you today, if you're walking feeling ashamed and unaccepted, you are not walking in the love of God. You're not accepting God's love for you. Listen, if you feel like you're on a performance-based relationship with God, you are not accepting God's love. If you think that God's concern for you and his love for you is based on how well you perform next week, if you get it all right, I've done this one. If I get everything just right, then I know God's on my side. But if I mess up a little bit, I'm afraid he might be on the other team for a minute. And then I'm in trouble. It's exhausting. Jesus came to have a relationship with you. Not one time in my children's life have I ever said, I don't know, man, today I'm not feeling it. No, I'm thinking that maybe you belong in a different family. I don't know. Now listen, I ain't gonna lie, I have thought about killing them a few times, but but never passing them off to another family, all right? And yet we kind of live like this as adults. We carry some shame with us, and we think we got to perform for God, and we lose the joy of the relationship. If I truly believe in the love of God, I can let go of the shame. I'm saying this to somebody this morning, let go of the shame. Here's what the Bible says. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Look around the room. If they had to tell you their story, you'd be shocked. You thought they were good. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we've all failed God. Every one of us. Some of us are just better at putting on a front. Some of us are just better at hiding it. Church is a good place to hide it. You get all dressed up and feeling good. There's no such thing as a perfect person. That's why we need Jesus. Here's the second thing that happens if we understand and we're aware of God's love for us. Number two, I'm bold in bringing my needs to God. If I know God loves me, I'm bold in bringing my needs to God. I've heard people pray like this: God, I know you're real busy. I know you got bigger stuff happening than mine. I don't want to waste your time. I'm like, brother, get to it, man. He does not need to hear all that. You're wasting our time. He knows us. You don't have to introduce yourself every time. You don't have to come in there groveling and being ashamed and embarrassed to pray. You can boldly bring your needs to God. Now, Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly. See where I got this point? Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Man. I'm telling you, some of us need to start praying real prayers. Some of us pray prayers like, God, if you could, you know, see it in your heart to help this week or just make this easier. And God wants us to come boldly. He wants us to boldly come before him. Romans 8 says this, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. Amen. Now, I can be bold in my prayers. Why? Because I'm a son of God. Because you're a daughter of God. Because we're children of God. I'm a member of the family. I come to God because I'm a member of the family. So I know God loves me unconditionally. And when I pray to him, I can talk to him about anything because I'm his son. When my kids were little and they would come to me and they would ask me for all kinds of crazy things. And they would tell me what they needed. And they assumed I had everything, I knew everything, and I could afford everything. Now you know that's not true. And I know that's not true, but they didn't know that wasn't true. But with God, it is true. He has everything. He knows everything. He can afford everything. And whatever his children needs, he's going to make sure that he gives it to them. God has a plan for us. Not one time have I ever said to my kids, you're not getting anything to eat today. I mean, yesterday you were such a knucklehead. Listen, when our kids were little, one time they were acting crazy in Kroger. They were acting so crazy. I saw an elderly lady walking by, and she looked at my kids, and I whispered to her, whose children are those? And she said, I don't know. And I said, they're mine. They're mine. I'm sorry. They're just crazy kids. But I never thought, I'm not giving you what you need. No bed for you tonight. No food for you this week. And some of us are living our lives as if God is withholding his blessings from us because we haven't gotten it perfect. Now, does he want you to get it perfect? And is he going to help you grow? Absolutely. He wants us to grow every day. I wanted my children to grow. At a certain point, I'm like, okay, you need to move along. I'm not paying the phone bill forever, right? We're gonna learn some maturity skills, and those are happening. And God wants that for us, but they're still mine. And if they need something, whatever I have is theirs. Whatever God has, and here's what the Bible says: He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. You know what God? You know what He's saying? I own it all. I own it all. I love what the old farmer said. The Bible said God owns the cattle of a thousand hills, and the old farmer said, and all the taters in them. I mean, God knew exactly what we were going to need, and He cares about us. Here's number three. What happens if I stay aware of God's love? Number three, I have peace in pain that I don't understand. Romans 8. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Peace in pain that I don't understand. I don't understand it sometimes when pain hits my family, when we're going through difficulty. You're going to have a lot of things that happen in your life that you just don't get, that you just don't understand. You're going to ask the why questions of life, like, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to our family? Why now? Why here? Why this? You're going to see things happen in the world, and you're going to go, why? Let me just say this up front. God doesn't owe you and me an explanation of why, ever, because He's God. But not everything that happens in this world is God's will. A lot of the suffering and pain and difficulty that's happening was never God's will. It was never God's plan. God hates evil, and there's a lot of evil done in this world. God could easily take all the evil away very simply. He could eradicate evil today if he chose to. But to do that, He would have to take away your freedom and my freedom to do it. Because you've done some evil things and I've done some evil things. He could easily get rid of all the suffering by taking away your choices and my choices and turn us into puppets. But He wants us to voluntarily love Him, so He puts up with the pain that evil causes in order to give you and me the freedom to choose a relationship with Him. Going back to His love. You're going to go through a lot of things in life. You're not going to understand. There's going to be losses you don't understand and hurts you don't understand and rejection and problems that we don't understand. But here's the thing. You don't have to understand them to be at peace with them. Even if we could explain them, sometimes explanations don't give comfort. What we need is not an explanation, but a presence. The presence of God in our lives. What we need is what the Bible calls the peace of God that passes understanding. It's when we know God loves us in spite of all the evil and difficulty happening around us, that I can have peace in the middle of pain that I don't understand. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God. You and I didn't start this loving relationship. The Bible says we love because He first loved us. I just love Him in response to His love for me. For those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them, those people who have accepted the invitation to live life on purpose with God. God has a plan, and God is always working, and we can have peace in the middle of those difficult circumstances. That doesn't mean we just accept the difficult circumstances. We might be praying about those circumstances. We might be asking God for miracles in those circumstances, but we can have peace until those answers come. So what happens if I stay aware of God's love for me? Number one, we already said it, I feel accepted rather than ashamed. I'm bold in bringing my needs to God. I have peace in pain I don't understand. And here's the fourth one. I will worship instead of worry. If I feel loved, I will worship instead of worry. Some of us are professional worriers in here. That we say stuff. We're proud of it sometimes. We shouldn't be. look at what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. Everything you need. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Worship is simply expressing our love for God. It can happen right here today. You can stand here, lift your hands to the Lord while somebody's singing beautiful songs and you can sing along, and that's a worship moment. But it might be when you're riding down the road and you're all by yourself and you're just telling God how great he is, and you're honoring him with your words, with your actions. It's when we truly believe and trust the love of God in our lives, other people are going to wonder why we have so much peace in our lives. Why we have so much peace. I'm going to let somebody get that if you need to. We love God because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. This is important. How do you know when you're not feeling God's love? This is, if you don't get anything else, get this. How do you know when you're not feeling God's love? It's real simple. One thing. If you're not feeling loved, you worry. You worry. If I don't feel loved, I worry. When you worry, at that moment, you've forgotten that God loves you. I want you to love me after I say this next sentence. Worry is acting like an atheist. Worry is saying, God, I'm really not sure if you exist or not. Worry is pretending you're an orphan. Worry is saying, I've forgotten I have a heavenly Father who loves me and wants what is best for me. He created me and he's watching over me. Worry is pretending like you are all you have, and you're not. Worry means I've forgotten how much God loves me. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. It's easier said than done. And not something you necessarily want to hear when you're wound up in worry. You don't want to hear somebody quoting scriptures to you. All right? But God is offering us another way than worry. A gentler way, a kinder way, a way that leads to peace. It's just to trust in his love for us. To trust his love for us.